Record. All right, welcome to the 14th of, somehow it's the 14th of April already. I'm not sure when that happened, but welcome to the working group call for this week. I've got the data back to the chat. I have the agenda in the chat if there was any changes that you would like to make to it or updates of any kind, or as yourself as an attendee. Please mind the antitrust policy notice and the Hyperledger Code of Conduct that we can make our work available everywhere without issue. Anyone new with us today? Or is everyone a returning friend? All right, well, we're glad you're all here. So announcements. Next week is IIW, and given the overlap between attendees here and attendees there, we will not be having this call next Wednesday. We will be having topics surrounding stuff, I'm sure, at IIW, but we will not be having this meeting next week. Any questions on that? Okay. Hyperledger Global Forum in June. Reminder to check the Rye Jones report if you are a maintainer on any of the repos to make sure that we get those issues solved. This report has a grading for each repo, and will let us know where we are. The marketing stuff shared last time as well. There's already updates here, and the DevRel marketing call happened. Actually, it happens the second Wednesday of every month, but that happened this morning. Okay. So, related meetings review. I'm trying to edit, not in edit mode. That's awesome. Related meetings. I will offer the DiffDidCom working group. We've been talking about profiles, which is basically an extension of the media types that will help us to lock down more than just the media type of the envelope. And that discussion has been going good. And we will be having the Monday meeting that doesn't overlap with IW. It's normally a travel day, but it isn't. And so we will be having the DidCom meeting this next week. Other meetings that we want to report on?
Any contributors, we're getting very close to completion of the work on IndieNode and Plenum and Ubuntu 20.04. So it continues to move forward, but we actually had a lot of good progress in the last little while. IndieDid method, we really have, I think, all of what we need. And so planning a presentation for IIW where we talk about here's what we're putting in, here's what's got to change in Indie, and sort of go through those things. As I say, very close to having all we need completed for a definition of what to do.
Awesome.
Just also had a ACA PUG meeting, the Aries Cloud Agent Python user group meeting, and really good presentation Daniel Bloom did on the resolver mechanism that's now in place in ACAPUG, ACAPI. So you now can resolve, we can now use pretty well any DID method. Some would be native, would be have the code inside the instance through a plugin mechanism, or there's an optional plugin that allows you to pass the DID to the universal resolver to be resolved. So very cool stuff. Very useful.
Excellent. Any other meetings?
Yes, the identity implementers working group call. This is the off week. So normally we would also meet next week, but due to IIW, we're going to cancel that meeting and meet 2 weeks following, so 3 weeks from today. And in that meeting, we'll go over a variety of the working group proceedings, as well as we've invited James Ebert from Indicio to come talk to us about Aries Bifold.
Very cool. Okay, work updates. Test harness.
Steven? Sorry about that. Yep. Nothing new to support to announce. We're, you know, continuing to evolve every day. Our big focus coming up, and we actually talked about this on the ACBUG meeting, was really getting down to making sure that the tests between ACAPI and Aries Framework Go are working, and that we've got a focus on that. Ian Costanzo on our team is sort of going to take up the combination of cat herding and development work that he's excellent at, to really try to make all of those tests in the test harness work. So that's one of our focuses right now.
Awesome. Andrew's here. Aries shared library updates, any shared components?
Working away on a big refactoring of Aries Askar and adding the new key supports and the Jose algorithms, ECDH, ES, and 1PU.
Awesome.
Most of the functionality is there now. I'm just going back and updating the storage component to use the new code.
Nice. Aries Cloud Engine Python?
The V2 credential exchange, the proof side of it has been worked over a lot, as the work that Animo has done on BBS Plus and that one of our team members, Shanjot, has done on Diff Presentation Exchange. So getting all three of those to work together and make them accessible to users, those are big things. Sign transaction capability for endorsers, particular interest on the indie networks. That work it continues to evolve a bit, and it's now pretty much usable in a general sense. There's some additional requests for PRs, but it's now to the point where we could actually begin to use it in implementations, and we're starting to do that.
Awesome. Aries Framework Go, Trey.
Everybody, the usual update today, still working on Universal Wallet APIs and AIP2 and ACAPI integration.
Very cool. React Native, James?
This is the off week on the user group call. Had some good discussion last week, and thanks to Timo for doing some merges, PRs for some quality of life and process things on the repo. So moving forward, making good progress.
Is that meeting not happening next week because of IW?
I believe that would be wise. Probably need to bring that up in the Rocket chat, because I don't know if that got discussed last week.
I don't think it did. Okay. So cool. Okay. Other Aries Framework JavaScript, any updates, Timo?
No, nothing special. We're in the progress of releasing Aries Framework JavaScript to NPM, so it will be a lot easier to use the framework.
Excellent. Any other updates for related projects? All right, we have one very main topic and then a very minor one if we have time. I would rather make progress on AIP2 than talk about IW topics, but if we have some time at the end, that might be kind of nice. We have the goal today at closing everything and perhaps everything that we need to for AIP2. So the main PR is here is 579, of course. And then I've highlighted, this is the PR, I think the sole PR that we were going to discuss today and potentially merge. And I believe we can, given the lack of commentary about it. Baha, any updates on this particular PR?
Yeah, so this is for the recipient keys and removing the sign, the signature on the attachment, since we're using authenticated encryption. I believe the community was just waiting for to see if there are any impacts.
Yep, it was just time. It was newish, okay. So we're giving it a little bit of time. So I don't believe there's any new updates since our conversation last week.
Okay, so the only thing is, if we remove this signature, that means .com v1. We have to make sure we don't break .com v1. So the agents or the ARIES implementation should maintain signature for the old .com and remove the signing for the new .com.
Right. So present the signature, but don't worry about checking it, which sounds weird.
Well, I think it's best just to not. Just don't have the signature for AIP2.
For AIP2, that's the answer. Right. But if you're maintaining AIP1 compatibility, then you can still include it and just ignore it.
I don't think AIP1 included did exchange. The connections protocol used a different format for the signature. It didn't use a signed attachment.
Okay, so we can just ignore it then.
So we could probably ignore it. If your implementations, though, it should be ignored if present, which means that if you have code that's already sending it, then you don't. It's not going to break anything if you're not going to pull it out quite yet.
Yeah, correct. I guess so. It should be ready for merge if everyone agrees.
Any other comments on this change?
Happy with it. Yep.
All right, I'm going to hit this while we're doing it.
I also have another PR, 635, which I put in the chat. That's another one.
Hey, Stephen, you requested changes, and I can't clear it until you're happy.
Shoot, I'll do that.
Okay, did this PR sneak in, or was it not tagged?
It was just open 21 hours ago. I think I just looked it over and I'm super happy with it. So I think we're.
Yeah. So this, due to referencing KID and SKID. So I added this new section to say where they should come from, and that would help, packing and how to resolve those, KID and SKID values from the DID documents. I know that Kyle had a question, I guess, about SKID value being encrypted. I was hoping that we can discuss it, but if he's not here, maybe we'll continue over the chat on Slack or...
Yes, we should. And this is new enough that I don't think we can merge this today. And is this...
It's going to impact interop as well, because we... I think Andrew or Turbo from the channel, I guess, they were asking how should we resolve the KID and SKID in .com. So it is important for the interop, though.
It is. I will highlight this is for the encryption envelope v2. So this is for the .com v2 prep related yes. work. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Just a quick question. I was not at the DIDCOM meeting on Monday, but was this not talked about there? I thought it was.
It was.
But I was actually, I missed also the Monday meeting. I discussed this over the chat on Slack. Yeah, it was not in the meeting, from my perspective, at least.
Yes, but it was discussed, Stephen, but there wasn't a solid... answer on that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So this one looks good. I was going to go tag this with AIP2 since it will relate.
Yeah, I can do that too. Okay. If you want me to.
I got it. Yeah. All right.
The other one's been merged.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay.
That is done. Okay. The next item, let's see, that's gone. Is Mr. Curran here has put together a list of all of the RFCs that will need a status update as part of doing this. And so he proposes a process here that I think we ought to solve, where we run down the list to see if there are disagreements about whether we can change the status of this. Now, you don't say, Stephen, what the status we're proposing it to change to in here, but these are proposed and we want to move them to accepted, right?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Right. So the vote we're going to take here in a second is whether anyone opposes this being moved to accepted or whether there's work that ought to be done before that actually happens. So Stephen's proposed that we do a quick no discussion vote on each of these. And then if it's a yes, then we can just go ahead and make the change. If it's a no, then we'll come back to it and talk about it in a minute. Any questions on what we're about to do? Okay, so we'll go through these one by one, and please use the Zoomish yes or no or thumb. You know, yes or a thumbs up will be a yes. A no or a thumbs down will be a no. If you do not agree to the status change on this, and we'll try and run through this pretty rapidly. Let me do something different. It's easier to unmute. If you object, please unmute and say so. And that way we can make sure that we register the no's. And if there is silence, then we're not making that happen. Troy, you're asking what we're doing for the BBS plus one. This one down here?
Yeah. We don't have one yet. So
no, we don't. With that one's going to be a no because we don't have one.
That's a no.
Right. That one remain a no. Yes. Okay. Any questions before we get started? Okay. So please verbally indicate if you disagree with the status being updated on 519 goal codes.
Just one quick question. Sure. Status going to accepted. That means we can still do some edits on it, right?
So status to accepted would mean clarification edits can be done. Yes.
Okay.
But nothing that would change the actual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything that's ambiguous or needs to be clarified or just language to sort of clear up understanding is acceptable after a status change. If you're going to actually change anything that is different about the protocol, then that would indicate a whole new version of the protocol at this point. That makes sense, Trey?
Yep.
Okay. So is anyone opposed to 519 goal codes being, goal codes being changed from proposed to accepted?
Well, pardon me. I don't want to slow this down, but as I look through that, is it specific? I thought last time I read it, it talked about putting things perhaps in the thread decorator, or I know it is a concept. So are we only accepting this as a concept and not a specific feature about where we put goal codes?
This doesn't indicate where goal codes, that actually happens inside of other protocols.
Yeah.
There is some specific one. Well, yes. So this basically describes about how to do it with it, but doesn't actually dictate any specific goal codes. Well, it does indicate the following goal codes are demonstrated here. But other than that, everything is just here's how it ought to be done.
Okay. But we're not agreeing at this point about where in a message it actually goes.
So there are a couple of messages where a goal code goes, and those are outlined in those protocols.
Okay, that's clear. That's fine.
Okay,
I'm good.
Okay, so I haven't heard anyone oppose 519 goal codes. This is your last chance. Okay, next up is Axe.
Just so you know, I'm editing this. Do you want me to add a new comment with the updates, or do you want me to edit as I go? This same one.
I don't know that I have an opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Just
go ahead and edit then. Okay. Yeah. I realized the check here is not going to stay. I'm just checking it from a visual tracking.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm doing it. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah. So, okay. 15, this is Axe. And this is under features. And it talks about how to make this happen. We haven't had a lot of traffic on this in a long time. Is anyone opposed to moving this for, this is demonstrated now, not just proposed, moving from demonstrated to accepted. Okay, I don't hear any dissent. Next up is Did Exchange, 23. We've had plenty of conversation about this. This is, I believe, demonstrated, is it not? Yeah, this is already demonstrated. So we're proposing to move this from demonstrated to accepted. All right, I hear no dissenting voice there. Didcom file type and MIME types. This is 44. We have had more recent conversation about this, but it's been really useful. This is a nice, clear description with some great tables from Daniel Hardman. This is currently listed as proposed. Anyone opposed to moving this to accepted?
Just quick comment. That might not be the latest version. Not sure if that matters for this conversation, but I think there's a newer update to this one that's already been merged.
Just 44.
Pretty sure it's been merged.
Yeah, it's been merged. I was just saying the one on the screen is not the most recent, I think.
I did update them all before I did this. But anyway, rest assured it will be the latest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, and just to be clear, what will go in AIP for all of these that we update the status to accepted, that will be the version that will go into AIP2.
All right.
That'll be the commit, in other words.
Okay, last chance to object to 44, didcom file and MIME types. All right, we have 360 use did key. This is currently proposed, and we're proposing that it be moved to accepted. Any objections? 360 use did key. All right, 434 out of band. This should be demonstrated, but it's listed as proposed here. Proposed that 434 out of band move to accepted.
I have a small objection.
Bruce has an objection. Okay, we will come back.
Okay.
557, discover features V2. This is this version. This is the version 2 of the protocol. Has the ability to list different types of features. For example, here is a goal code that indicates it matches that where before we were only matching the URI prefixes of protocols. That's the main adjustment from this one. Any opposed to move from 557 from proposed to accepted? All right, revocation notification 183. This is listed as proposed. Author is Keith here, and the idea here is to, if you haven't seen this, is to notify the holder of a revoked credential. Is the motivation there? This is 183 revocation notification.
One small cleanup you might want to do, Keith, is update to issue credential V2 in your links.
I haven't looked at this too much, but what does adopting it mean exactly? Do we just have to recognize the message type?
Yes.
Let's move on this one, and that sounds like enough that we have a discussion. So.
Yep. So we will come back to this.
First pass, yeah.
Issue credential V2. currently this is proposed. I believe we're getting we've got some implementations of this already. Is anyone opposed to moving issue credential protocol V2 from proposed to accepted? Okay, we have a sibling. This is present proof V2. All right, static peer dids. This is
Let's move that one down. So I'll object to this one being just done. Okay.
All right. So now we have in the attachments, this is 592. This was the definition of in the attachments that we had basically been using forever and never had an RFC created for it. This actually adds that documentation and I don't believe has any changes from what's in current practice. Is anyone opposed to 592? All right. 441, present proof best practices. This is proposed by Stephen Klump. And this has, this contains shoulds, does it not, for presenting proofs?
Yep. And it has actually been implemented.
So it should be demonstrated, but it's currently this is proposed.
Yeah.
Does anyone object moving 441 to accepted? Okay, 593 JSON-LD cred attach. This is the cousin to the indie one. That links to the PR, but it's been merged.
Yeah, perfect.
So, So this is the JSON. This is the sibling to the indie definition, but for JSON-LD attachments. Any objections to 593 being merged? Okay, and similar, 510 is the diff presentation exchange as well.
Let's have a conversation about that one.
Okay. We can't do BBS Plus because we don't have a PR for that yet. Yep. We also have 510 presentation exchange listed down here as well, so I'll skip it again. And this is also lists 587 encryption. That is not the same as the one that's up here.
Right, that's a new one.
So this is 587 encryption envelope. I lost the tab I just opened this on. That's fantastic. So I'll open another one. This is how it starts, people. Okay. This is the encryption envelope V2 that helps move in the direction of DIDCOM V2. For those targeting this particular thing in as a subtarget of AIP2. This is listed as proposed. Any objections to 587 moving to accepted?
I'd say we add the caveat on this one that the SCID and KID will be added to this if necessary.
Yes.
Assuming we merge that.
Yep.
It would include that.
It would include that.
That's right.
Any objections? Okay, that's good. We made a bunch of progress. So on the second pass, we want to have the discussions, right, Stephen? Was that the plan?
Yep.
Should we just hit them in order, or should we hit them? Or should we hit them one at a time? Or is there a separate order we should do it in?
That's funny. It turns out you are actually live updating because it says I can't change them because you updated it.
What? So when I check the mark, it's actually making a change?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's kind of cool.
But that's pretty cool. I like it.
All right. Let's go in order then. Out of band. This was Bruce, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. If you'll just scroll down to the URL shortener part, this will probably be a pretty short discussion.
URL shortener. I'm not there yet. down here. URL shortening, here we are.
Yeah, so my objection to it is it's where it says the shortened URL must include an ID query parameter. I don't know very many of the implementations, but the two that I know have the actual ID string as a path component, not as the value of an ID query.
That's the way we do it, and we had the same question about that.
So we could change must to may, perhaps. I don't see any reason for us to be that rigid in what a short URL must look like.
I'm sorry. So what? So we do it with the ID query parameter. You're saying that it should be part of the path, or it can be part of the path.
It could be part of the path.
And that it can be, and in some.
And if it is part of the path, is it what SSI slash and then just the ID?
Yes.
Okay.
So Keith, in our case, we actually, it's not even SSI. We just have it part of the path. It's the last part of the path.
SSI okay. Here is just an example. That's not part of the requirement.
No, actually we did want it to be. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not the right person to comment on this. I would say, barring objections, I would say that, we asked somebody, Bruce, if you could put a PR in to change the wording. And as long as you're basically saying, as long as there's no objections to that from anybody, that adjustment that we, once that's done, once that's merged, we still move it to accept it after that.
That works for me.
So just a quick question. Yeah, I agree. This doesn't really seem like a must, does it? It's just whatever the URL is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is more like an example, isn't redirect. It?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So would it be okay if this is just changed to an example instead of a must then? And everybody's good with that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Good
call. I think the only context historically was there was some concern that people were going to use URL shorteners that were not really designed for this. And so they would persist messages around for a much longer amount of time. And these requirements does something to restrict, not using Bitly, for example, I think was the idea. But given that history, I don't know that it's worth sticking with must. I think that the proposed adjustment is fine.
I think also there was a goal to make the shortened URL somewhat recognizable so that you know when it's just a URL versus actually this might be an invitation. Because given the context, all you're receiving is a URL, could be anything.
Right.
But just adding an ID parameter doesn't really do that either.
No, it doesn't. So has anyone objected to the proposed change, which is we change the language to provide an example like this?
Perhaps I could add two or three examples.
Sure. I think any updates in the spirit of what we've talked about, I think would easily be accepted, Bruce.
Yeah.
Okay. Bruce, did I hear you commit to that? To updating language on this one? I didn't hear if he answered.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So that one is done. And then with those proposed changes, is anyone opposed to changing the status? Okay. Next up is revocation notification. What was the conversation about this one, 183? I think there was just mostly questions about it.
Yeah.
And a very minor point, the issue credential, since we're talking about AOP2 now, is referring to issue credential V1.
Right. So that would be a useful update, just to link to the newest version, to version 2 of that. Any questions about this this protocol? Andrew, you may have had a question, or did we answer it?
Yeah, it was just what behavior is required for conformance.
Yep, this would be that when a message is revoked, then the issuer sends it to the holder with this detail.
If they want.
Yeah, I mean, are we required to send it?
No.
In particular, you would not send it to a user that does not support this protocol. Timo, your hands up.
Yeah, with the credential ID, I think W3C credentials doesn't necessarily need to have a credential ID. So you only have, you generate one locally to store something, but I'm not sure if you always have a unique identifier for the credential you've issued.
So another caveat could be on this is that this is obviously only useful if the credential contains an ID.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the issuer is the one that decides whether to put an ID in there, so.
Right, and they're the ones sending revocation. So this would be like if you issue credentials with IDs, you can use this.
Which credential ID are we referring to on this one?
The ID of an issued credential?
Yeah, maybe okay. We should make that more explicit. There is a field for the W3C credential that would represent that, but it's optional.
Yeah, and if you do BBS plus signatures and there's an ID there, the ID makes its way into the signature.
Just FYI. Wouldn't it be more useful to, I don't know if it's too complex, but to make it something like the message of the ID of the message that the credential is issued to, so you can always identify the credential later on?
We could. That would be a fair departure from what we've talked about in the past. I don't know, for example, that any implementations are tracking the message ID of the received credential.
Well, there's a thread for the credential exchange that we generally track.
That's probably the most general way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fine from my perspective, because the issuer obviously knows the ID that he used, or the thread ID that he used to issue it under. So are we talking about the message ID that it was used, or the thread ID through which it was issued?
The thread ID through which it was issued.
That's what, yeah, agree with that.
So if you're going to support this, you would keep that, it would be up to the agent, the
issuer. Well, yeah. The receiving agent as well would need to track it by that.
Both of them, yeah, both would have to track this if you're going to support this, if you're going to use this.
That implies that you have to identify which protocol was used here as well.
Okay, so let me, in our use cases, this was being able to notify a holder that you're revoking it was... we had requests for that. Is this, I'm getting a general sense that that's not something that anyone else has encountered, or?
So what we've done or encouraged is that the holder figure out whether the credential is revoked before they present it, which is of course kind of stupid. If the issuer is being friendly with the holder, they would tell them, hey, we've just revoked it. And all they need to know is have a common way to identify which credential they're talking about.
Okay. All right. So that's exactly my thinking. So
okay. So I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm thinking that the most general way to do this would be the ID of the thread ID of the issue credential protocol that was used to issue it.
Sure. And
whatever, whatever mechanism, whatever format you're using, you have the data you need.
Yep.
And the holder and the issuer just are obligated to track those two pieces of information to be able to use this.
Right.
Andrew, you mentioned we'd also need to know the protocol.
Well, this isn't a part of the issue credential protocol. So presumably it's going to be used with multiple versions of that.
Right. So it's probably the thread ID should still uniquely track.
Yeah. Even across the versions of it. Yeah.
I think there's one caveat to you can issue multiple credentials, which all have in a single thread, for example, INDI format and also W3C format. That means you can only send with a thread ID, send a replication notification for all credentials at the same time.
Yeah, Timo, you beat me to bringing that up.
Yeah.
Hang on. At this point, the only reason you would send multiple is if you're sending the same credential in multiple formats. Therefore, when one is revoked, they're all revoked, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Could be.
We're pretty clear on that. You can't issue the same, you know, multiple versions of the same credential. Now, whether they both, you know, whether both actually implement revocation, that's kind of a different question.
But right.
I think from a business sense, that would be okay.
We don't need to revoke for multiple threads at the same time, do we?
No, that's not allowed. I'm teasing, but no, I think you could probably just send multiple revoke messages if you needed to revoke more than one credential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the likelihood of revoking multiple for a single holder anyways, yeah. Yeah, I think one is fine.
Okay, so the proposal that I've heard is that we change this from a credential ID to a thread ID, and then there's the implication probably ought to be indicated here that this has to be tracked by both the issuer, of course, and the holder for this to function properly, and that the implication or to underline the fact that you should not be issuing multiple credentials in the same thread that are unrelated. Any other commentary on that?
Yeah, and in fact, to that last point, I just want to. My understanding is that we could not issue even apart from this RFC that we cannot issue multiple credentials of different, in the same issuance that unless they were just the same credential in different formats.
Right. Is that said in the credential? Yeah.
I mean, we can make sure of it, but I'm 99% sure it is. We've talked about it enough times.
Yeah.
So you may just be able to link to the right paragraph in that document, or just refer to it generally and indicate that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll make three updates then to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm keeping notes on these, so you'll be able to see that in this issue in a moment or on the next save. So good.
And Keith, did I hear you volunteer to make those changes?
Yes.
Awesome. I love volunteers. Thank you. Okay, any further commentary on this? It's also worth noting, and I don't know if we should say that in here, failure to send or properly process a revoked notification doesn't open a security hole, right? All it does is make something perhaps a little less convenient for the user.
Correct, yep.
So it's worth... I don't know if it's worth a sentence in there that indicates that this is a convenience to improve user experience, not an essential piece of the security of issuing credentials or revoking them.
And it's computationally intensive for the mobile, like for an edge device to compute if it's revoked or not. Right. So this is also a performance thing, right?
Oh yeah, totally. But should it not be done? There's not going to result in a scenario where a credential is presented improperly or something, right?
Yeah, the onus is still on the back end to verify that it was provable and hasn't Correct. Been revoked.
Right.
Yep.
Do we say in here what should happen when it's the notification of revocation has happened? I don't think we do. which is good because I think it's perfectly appropriate for the edge device, right? The agent to decide what it wants to do about that. It may keep the credential, but mark that it's been revoked, or it may delete the credential. And I believe that's up to the software.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right. Okay. I ran up into someone trying to mandate that revoked credentials be immediately deleted from the other device. And I didn't like that for the same reason that I might keep an expired passport or, you know, something. And there's no problem with that. So, okay. 627.
Hold on. Timo added, do we want to add the reference that a please ACK can be used? Please ACK is not part of AIP2 and not approved. So I would say we don't do that.
Did that get taken out of here? Did please ACK?
It was in, yeah, it did. Yes, this was back. This happened with AIP1.
Yes.
And it didn't get included in AIP2.
Right.
So at this point, I would say we would not include that.
But isn't please ACK not mentioned in the issue credential present proof protocols or V2?
I don't think so. Oh. Someone could look right now. I hope they are.
I'm going to
Yeah, it is mentioned.
It mentions ACK, but not please ACK.
No, it says if the issuer wants an acknowledgement that the issued credential was accepted, this message must be decorated with please ACK.
I mean, I'd love to see that one. We haven't talked about that one at all. But I think please ACK is a super useful thing, but there was lots of objection last time and I can't remember why.
So does this have to be removed from this one?
I would much prefer we added please ACK, personally. I don't see why it was, I never understood why it was much of an objection the last time, especially because it's the word please.
I think it's so nice when you ask. I think the most of the controversy was around the sort of the experimental stuff, rather than the actual stuff itself. Meaning like this indicates, you know, like the different sort of states that need to happen. And it was the interaction of ACKs with states that was a problem.
Yeah.
Not the fact that please ACK itself was problematic.
Yeah.
So I think we could probably resolve this with a nice, happy discussion about please ACK. But I do remember that was the issue. About binding ACKs to protocol states, and mostly the fact that we hadn't had a lot of really solid stuff about protocol states and probably don't enough to justify that type of binding here anyway. So
anyone want to volunteer to hit that one up? And would there be, if this could be constrained to remove some of that stuff, would people be happy to see please ACK included? I
think it's pretty useful.
Yep.
One issue that I'll bring up is that this talks about there's the decorator and then the adopted ACK that showed up earlier in the doc. The ACK message is adopted into the protocol. So when you send a please ACK, are you asking from an ACK from the same protocol or are you asking from the generic ACK? That's one of the questions, for example.
Yeah.
Like what's the behavior if there's a please ACK, but you don't have an ACK in that protocol, or if there is. And I think I could really get behind it as long as it was simplified to remove a whole bunch of implications about protocol state. And it might be that the ACK names, if you will, need to be defined in the protocol or it becomes relatively meaning, or the only thing that matters is receipt. Right. This, for example, says, hey, please act like after 6 hours if nothing's happened, which is conceptually a good idea, but really complicated to consider and implement at this point. If someone is willing to take a simplification pass on please act, I think I could really get behind including it.
I can take a shot at it.
Ooh. Timo, thank you.
What's the number?
317.
Troy, any thoughts on that? Would you be good, bad, or indifferent on that?
I'll be honest, I haven't thought about please act, so I'm probably not the right one to have a strong opinion about it.
If that is the whole concept, is the idea that the whole idea of it is just that in some cases you want a specific act back, and the protocol doesn't include it. And so whenever you want a specific back, you just want to include it. You just want to be able to add it in. And I mean, our first example of that was in connection where you never got one of the parties never got an answer back whether the person had actually established the connection. And so they never knew when they could transition state into an active connection. And just the please act would have just taken care of that. Anyway, enough.
Okay. So we're just talking about this basic version though, right? Like,
a totally basic version, which is, and I think Sam does have the one nuance that has to be dealt with, which is it as soon as you get the message, you say, yep, I got it. Or it's once you've processed the message, do you say, yep, I've processed it? That's really the only nuance to it. There is extra nuance in this that is too much.
There's extra nuance, which is complicated. And so we get to decide whether it's a receipt only, which would probably be the easiest one to do. Like, yes, I received the message. And then we can leave other types of things for future stuff.
I mean, it would be just as easy, I think, at least in most cases, I believe, to have two of them, not the timed ones, but the on receipt and on outcome.
Yeah. And the nuance Sam's talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought you were just saying only on receipt, but not outcome.
No. I was saying that you do want that nuance.
Okay. Right.
Yes, I agree.
But we need to limit the nuance to make this not painful to implement. Right.
Yes. Agreed.
So let's come up with let's make it as simple as possible and no simpler.
I think the simplest would be supporting receipt and outcome and nothing else, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Right. Over to you, Timo. Good stuff.
Thank you for the volunteering there. That brings us back eventually to
183.
Not this one.
But it was 183 we were on.
Revocation notification.
Yes.
So Timo's arguing for a please act and also volunteered to write up the please act thing. That's convenient. So we will try and link those two together in the creation of it to make that happen. Okay.
Yep.
So any other discussion on revocation notification besides the please act discussion we just had? All right. Next up is static peer did 627.
I objected to it just because I wanted to highlight that this was added to AIP2 like 20 minutes ago. It was at the request of George and agreement of Daniel, and he put it together. But I realized we'd never talked about this. So that's why I didn't want to make sure we just accepted it with no discussion, but I don't have an objection to it. I just wanted to make sure that it was specifically talked about.
For those of us who haven't seen it, can someone describe it?
Yes. So this is talks about the peer did usage, but this particular RFC points to the peer did spec where it lives, but also places constraints on which pieces of it we're actually going to do. So there's recognizing it, there's accepting static, and there's accepting dynamic. And this basically says we're not doing dynamic, this is static only. So support for layer three that have an updatable state is not required by this RFC. So it puts that on there. It also specifically limits the num algo methods, basically the methods within peer did, to zero and two. Zero is basically did key. And two is one that I wrote that it follows the same principles, but is more verbose than method one. So we're basically saying, at least currently, we're everything but method one, which is a lot more involved than zero and two. The other cool thing about what Daniel did here is that he linked to both the rendered form and also the actual GitHub commit of the external resource, so that any updates to the peer did spec are not required sort of intrinsically by this RFC, which means that the locked functionality of the AIP remains in place because it also locks it to a specific commit of that external resource. Does that make sense? It basically says, let's do peer dids like we're doing only the official way, meaning we actually put like did peer in front of it instead of just including the key that was used sometimes for historical reasons. But then constrains the use of the peer did spec in very specific ways. Is that good, Keith, or do you have questions?
I think that makes sense. So in terms of transition, pardon me for not following this as closely historically, but so if for the ones that don't have the did prefix, we're assuming those are did peer for now, or did
we did are peer. But the proposal of including this in AIP2 means we won't do that anymore.
Okay, right. And at some point, are we going to have like this transition thing where everything has to have the appropriate prefix?
And I think we kind of get that for free with AIP2, meaning when you're AIP2 compliant, you will be sending the peer the did peer prefixed dids
instead okay, of so just then the that, then that implies that if we're beginning by sending all of those prefixes, then for interoperability we can only interoperate with an AIP V2, all right.
Well, I think if there isn't one, we assume it's this, which gives us AIP1 compatibility. But if there is a prefix, so that would mean, what does that mean? AIP1.
I think one allows it. Although I'm not sure we ever wrote this anywhere. So, and for the sake of serving the poor developer without community knowledge,
yeah,
I don't think we ever actually said that. So, did Daniel include any language in here? I don't think he did. He did not. That's a good point. I think the implications are harder. Saying we're not doing sort of undecorated peer dids, I think, is the right answer for AIP2. The question is that AIP1 probably needs some amended clarification to say, if it doesn't include a did peer prefix, we assume it's a did peer. But other than that, we don't actually have the rest of it, right? How do we resolve this in the cleanest way possible?
To me, it seems like our standard transition plans that we need is we need to be able to say everyone is, you know, accepting, you know, we get everyone to the point where they recognize the prefixes, and then either that or we somehow, you know, within an invitation or something, we're able to know the state of the other person, whether or not they can recognize the prefixes, and we can send them to them.
How about this? I'll do a bit of work on a community update through an issue to say, okay, here's what it should be. And then I'll add a community update one for this that we'll push out. But for AIP 2, we'll include this. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think the update can be useful for people until they transition to AIP 2.
Right.
So it'll be a little bit different than our other ones in that it's sort of that community coordinated update becomes not useful at all post AIP 2, but that's okay.
That's okay. All of them become hopefully not useful after a period. That's the right. Whole system, right?
But totally.
In other words, the AIP, this should be one of the first things that AIP 1 people do, which is follow the community update. So that in order to get to AIP 2, they can use this. Does that make sense? I think that's what I said.
Yes.
It's kind of like HTTP. In the HTTP message type, we've done the transition. We put the transition in there. Hopefully everyone's done it, but in AIP 2, we don't even reference the DID format of message type.
Right.
But yes. I agree with Keith that we need to do a transition for this one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And you will be able to be AIP 2 compliant without accepting the undecorated ones. Right? That's the end of the transition. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Okay. Besides that, Keith, any other commentary?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So with the added clarification, not for AIP 2, but to get to AIP 2, is anyone opposed to accepting or changing the status of 27 to accepted? I hear no objections. Okay, we've had that conversation now. Cool. Okay. I think we have the diff presentation exchange attachment was up for conversation.
Yeah. Again, that's the one. So with that one, I know there was George and Timo have, you know, probably the most knowledge of this. That was the one where I believe the last thing we've seen on the issue was, hey, we should talk about what we want to support and not support. Timo, do you recall that?
Well, I think the idea was to, because Presentation Exchange is very feature rich, we wanted to select some features that we want to include in AIP 2 and some features that we don't want to include in AIP 2. George created an issue for it, and I think it has a lot of comments. And I think from it, we could, like, for 95%, I think we agreed on what to include. So I think it should be somehow added to the RFC. So we have like a formally defined subset for AIP 2 as a next step.
Okay.
So it seems like this would be the RFC to add this to, right? 510?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's an issue open about it. Yeah.
I went looking quickly. Yeah. Do you remember which one it is?
The details it's called or something. Yeah. 510, the details.
The details. Okay. Yeah. So
we've had some discussion over here about awesome. What to include.
Okay. So this one needs an update based on the output of the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I can message George and I'll make sure that either he or I add it to 510.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. No objection to George being volunteered without him being here.
Was a soft I put
both your names on it, so I've put both on it. So basically said, Timo, George, to use issue 598 to do a PR to this RFC. to 5.10.
Yeah.
Awesome. Other commentary on 5.10?
That was my only issue with it.
Okay. And I think we skipped, Troy said this, we skipped 434 out of band. So back to that. Objections to this one?
I think you just maybe might have missed marking it.
Did I miss marking it? Does anyone object to 434?
I had it in my tracking. I've got it marked.
Oh, you do? Bruce, did you have a comment?
I've committed to doing a pull request.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I just didn't mark it. Well, better safe than sorry, I guess. Okay. In revocation notification two, I believe we've tentatively done this, but there's going to need to be a rewrite that we'll need to take a look at. So I think we'll need to look at that first. And we've got updates for this. Okay. Did someone volunteer for the BBS Plus update? Was that Timo? You said you had one in progress.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Just wanted to make sure I have to write like I know what the scope of the RFC is, but I think I have an idea now and I can have it ready by next week.
Awesome. We will be in IW land next week. So you actually get yourself 2 weeks, which doesn't actually help much because you have IW in the middle. but that all keeps us crazy busy. But excellent. I very much appreciate that. Okay. Are there other things that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about on this issue?
So I'm going to hang on 1 second. I'm going to add I've added another comment lower down that sort of gives the to-do list for everybody of who's got to do what. And then basically where everything is checked off except the BBS Plus one.
Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Are we gonna ask the authors to update the status individually, or are we gonna go update the status of the uncontested ones in one fell swoop?
So there's two comments in this. There's the original list that you've been marking off. There is the, first round votes without discussion. I was going to put a PR in that sort of updates all of those, as there's no pending other updates to those. And then my thought was I would follow up with the status updates after the work's been done on the ones still to be done.
Yep, and that can happen pre-meeting. I think the only ones with bigger discussion might be the revocation notification, not that it's complicated, but just we want to make sure that it'll be a significant shift. And of course, BBS Plus doesn't exist yet. And then the diff presentation exchange will probably also need one. But I think all these other ones, you know, once the minor language has been adjusted, that we can go ahead and do it. And that can happen before our meeting in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the last one?
We'll have one more. So a big issue, Troy, did you just ask that about what's left for 5.10? It's just dealing with
those issue 598. Yeah.
Issue 598, taking the information from 598 and putting it into the RFC.
That information comprises of the limits around the presentation exchange format.
Yeah.
As discussed in that issue.
Okay, the last one I had, which is internationalization. Don't know whether we want to get into this, but I can't believe, you know, we are such a global community, but we're not putting in, we're not pushing on internationalization. It's certainly come up for us here in Canada in recent months that it's, you know, absolutely crucial that wallets be able to be internationalized. So our feeling is that that's a fairly important one, but I'm not sure how the other community and whether we want to, you know, try to cram that in, given that it hasn't been looked at in very, very long time.
It hasn't been. It has been discussed over in DIDCOM V2 land, with the idea that we would try to take what we had defined in V1 and simplify it as much as possible, which more or less involved the removal of external dictionaries. I think was what Daniel and I had talked about, but we haven't made a lot of explicit progress over there either. Stephen, I'm going to propose something that might get me shot.
Oh man.
How do you feel about adding an additional target to AIP2 after it's ratified?
Yeah. I'd be okay with that. I'd rather not rush it in, but I like that idea of having it as a target.
Okay, we can argue about that a little bit later, the mechanics of that. Of course, we need to agree, but I think that would help us in a useful way without having to slow down the work that we're currently on.
Yep.
Okay. Other things on this particular issue here, Stephen? Is that?
I don't think so. I think this was, it worked.
Your process is fantastic.
We've got most of them done. We've got a bunch we can do just with a single update, and then a bunch we can follow up when people have, we've got a bunch of volunteers to finish things off, and then we can update some additional ones. So I think this is great.
Okay.
Gets us to AIP2. The last mechanics of before we accept AIP2 is obviously once these are all done, the commit. I've been updating as we've gone along. I've been periodically updating the commit for each of them. So we're up to date. Basically, I just, there is a script in case anyone wonders. There's a script in the code that actually does a diff of the commit in the AIP in your repo and the and master basically head of master, so you can actually both see which ones have had updates since they were locked in, if you will. And also you can run it in diff mode, so you can actually see what the diffs were. And I've been using that to make sure that we're staying up to date and moving them forward.
Right. So here's where the code lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. But we have a pile of AIP2 tagged issues here. And a lot of these relate to the exact stuff we're talking about. For example, here's the one, the BBS credential format. Here's the did peer support, which I believe now is satisfied.
Yeah, now we've got that one. I would say we have an answer for the internationalization. We'll soon have one for the BBS Plus. We've got the transitioning one.
How about this one?
I think that's done, but I don't know.
This is an Ares framework Go. So it did peer to a separate topic.
Yeah, so that one's out and taken care of.
Right. So Stephen hasn't taken this yet. I don't see a comment from Stephen Klump.
Yeah.
And I think you were going to chase him down and get him to look at that.
I hadn't on this one. This is 609. Is Andrew still on the call?
Yes.
Maybe you could take a look at that one, Andrew.
Sure, I can have a look.
Biggest thing I'm looking at, worried about, is the transition issue. And this may be what Keith was talking about, what came up when we talked about
did peer.
Did peer. So if you could just look at that from that perspective, how does this affect AIP 1 and how do we get to this? That's really what I was worried about.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, and then and then we can go ahead. We've got a bunch of these on track. We can close the ones that are necessary. Oh, look, it gives you like number of checkmark things up here. That's cool. And a little progress bar.
592 is, I'm 99% sure, done. I think Steven's already, I just forgot to update it. So I'm pretty sure 592 is done. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll check on that one though too. You want me to close it?
Yeah. Steven and I talked about it. He just wanted to raise it to the community, find out if anyone said anything about it. Nobody said anything. So he's good.
This is 0414. Okay. I posit that we should not have any open PRs or issues with the AIP 2 tag when we finally complete AIP 2.
Yeah.
But we're on track for that. Okay. We've made massive amounts of progress today. I'm inclined to let us go unless anyone desperately wants to talk about IAW next week. Does anyone want to talk about IW and potential sessions?
Sam, could you do a session on AIP 2?
Do you want me to do one? I or could.
Combine.
I would be happy to be in and support one. I may even be able to run it. I can't speak as authoritatively to all the changes. I think you may have a little bit more knowledge there. But I'd be happy to support it. I'm trying to limit the number of sessions I'm attempting to lead, and I'm at 4 right now.
Yeah.
And I know that I there's a bunch I need to be in. And it happens every time. I do think that that a discussion of AIP 2 could be really, really good, particularly as there appear to be lots of communities that have adopted the concept of an interoperability profile based on our AIP 1 work. And this is a move that may be an interesting conversation in the broader community about AIP 2.
Okay.
So I'll add that to my list, Stephen.
I can take a shot at this one if you want. And you're there for support, but how about I do a slide deck for it? And
yeah, I will do my best to be there. And I'm actually really interested in the conversation. We should probably introduce like what's an AIP and
that's
the mechanics of an AIP, meaning we lock it to specific commits.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
do. And then we could talk about what's new between AIP 1 and AIP 2, which I think might also kind of be interesting. But it would be interesting, the general conversation about interoperability profiles is something that I would be quite interested in listening to.
Cool. I will take that one.
I'll be doing a DIDCOM one. The first half is going to be, I'm attempting to make into a sales pitch on why you should care about DIDCOM. And the second half will be a kind of a status update of the DIDCOM working group at the DIF.
Okay.
Good. Other topics. So there's a bunch of topics. The revocation, I think, is going to be really hot.
I hope so.
I think there's a bunch of one of the sessions I'm going to lead is a little abstract, but it's a discussion around what happens when the subject cannot be the holder for legal or legislative reasons. I think that will be a really entertaining one. I have more questions there than answers. I have very few answers. So that's one of the ones that I'm going to talk about. Two topics that I think will be interesting. Ken and I will be leading two sessions of different topics, but are both sort of pushing the envelope a little bit. One is doing directories in SSI, the role of directories, how they can function, the features, the requirements, the issues around directories. Another one is identity escrow. There are certain circumstances where law may require PII from people in order to allow proper prosecution of things, stuff in this. This is not exactly, but similar to the concept of like anti-money laundering laws, where sometimes there's a legal requirement to know stuff, or sometimes it might be just reasonably good practice for various reasons. One of the things we're going to talk about is the idea that rather than upfront reveal my information to a service that may need to know it if there's a problem, I can place that in escrow under an agreement about when it should be revealed, and then provide the required information to the other party such that they could have the information released at a future date if the terms of release are met. And that might be a useful feature that allows for both privacy for people that don't end up meeting the terms, but also the requirement that those parties may actually need that information. So that's an interesting topic that we're going to talk about as well. Other things people want to bring up?
Looking at, we want to do one on the BBS work that we've been doing in ECOPI, and then more on like the higher level and implementing it and what we learned and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. James, did you have anything bifold related? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. I don't know if you do or not.
I was minorly distracted. Bifold related to what?
An IW session, sorry.
I believe we have intention to do something related to bifold. Need to follow up on that though.
Other sessions or IW related shenanigans? I heard straight from Phil and Kalia, by the way, that they are considering in the future that there's some aspects of the virtual meeting that have been really beneficial. And inclusion and reach accessibility has been improved, but there's also a lot of value in the in-person. I know that there's no decisions made as far as I know. But they are considering possibly splitting IIW so that one of the IIWs per year is virtual and one of the IIWs is in person. In that way, there's some benefits of both. The one thing that they did comment on was that going virtual has been the single largest thing to improve note-taking in IIW sessions in forever. So I think they're trying to replicate some of the benefits of the way the note-taking was set up, even when it's in person, just because of how much that has improved. Everyone's at a keyboard, right? So the notes ought to be pretty good. So that was one of the things that they had mentioned. So I know of no announcements, but I thought that that was interesting. And I kind of like the idea of once a year in person and once a year online. I think that that could be a nice move. I will confess that I miss dinner time conversations, among other things, at IW. I'm feeling it pretty strong this year, so I'm hoping that maybe in the fall, maybe if we're lucky, that might work out. Cool. Anything else?
I am 24 hours into my vaccination. I'm pretty excited, and I'm still standing, so that's good.
First or second?
First.
Nice. I get my second on Thursday, tomorrow. And I'm also still standing. They told me I would either get wings or a tail, but not both, and I can't pick.
Yeah.
So, perfect. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for coming. I appreciate you being here. We got a lot of stuff done. Special thanks to Stephen for putting together the list that drove our discussion today. And grateful for all those that volunteered to make updates. The faster we move on this, the faster we can get AIP2 locked, which I believe we'd all be happy about. Among other reasons, we can actually talk about other things in Aries calls than just AIP2 for once. But I'm grateful for all the work and the progress, and this is important work for what it will do for our community. I hope everyone has a wonderful week and as well, and we will see you at IW next week. Thanks, folks.
Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Yeah.